Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Josh Hallam, and you are listening to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we celebrate films we think are underrated, underseen, or we just wanted to talk about them. This week's film is Venom, so let's see what we think. So, Alice.
Yes, Josh.
Venom.
Just 35 minutes of Venom.
We're talking about Venom, the film Venom, starring Venom. It's from 2018, so spoiler warning if you've not seen it. Alice, you picked this one. Really interested to know this week, actually, to be honest with this one. Was not expecting it, was right out of left field.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm glad I can still surprise you. Not a sequel, that's a surprise in itself.
What is Venom about and why did you pick Venom? And I'm going to stop doing it there because my vocal cords are going.
I love it though. It's so catchy. So Venom is a Marvel character who in some form or another usually appears alongside Spider-Man as the main villain. He is a symbiote, which is like a sentient alien gunge thing, and was found on a comet along with a few other symbiotes and brought to Earth by a billionaire who's interested in space exploration. Sound familiar? The symbiote's mission is to invade Earth, but they can't survive here without a suitable living host. So eventually, through various circumstances and hijinks, Venom infects a journalist called Eddie Brock, played by Tom Hardy. They have some top bants, and eventually Venom decides that he quite likes it on Earth and doesn't want to destroy it. It also helps that Eddie is a perfect match for Venom, so there's a good chance that he'll live for a reasonably long time, whereas if a symbiote infects a non-compatible host, they die, you know. So it can be quite quickly. It can take a few weeks or so. The reason I picked it is that I do think this is underrated. People were not very nice about this film when it came out. I can definitely see the flaws. And I imagine if you are, you know, if you're a committed Marvel fan and a committed Spider-Man fan, then maybe there are some issues with it. But I think actually there's quite a lot to like about it. So, Josh, had you seen Venom?
So I had seen it before. I remember being thoroughly underwhelmed. Not hating it,
Okay, interesting.
Before we go on, I will obviously say, A, spoilers for Venom, and B, we'll probably spoil some of the MCU films as well.
Particularly the more recent
Spider-Man film, if you've not seen it. So I had seen it before and I was underwhelmed, but I was really interested to watch it again because I did think that was probably why you picked it, because I do remember that, that this was not critically well received when it came out. It was pretty panned. But it did do really well financially. I think it cracked a billion. I think it,
Ooh, nice.
So I think it cracked a billion. If it not that, it definitely did very well.
A few hundred million at the least.
Just a small matter of a few hundred million dollars. So I was interested to look at it with a more critical eye, especially because the way we frame things, you know, we try, well, what did you like and what didn't you like? So
yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to find what you did like and sometimes it's hard to find what you dislike. What's it going to be this time?
I'm so interested to hear what you have to say. So
having watched it again, then we'll start with yourself. What did you think? Like, what did you like about it this time?
So I do quite like the concept, the story, and the way in which the story is told. So it's a superhero movie, but it feels a bit different, right? It's a bit darker. It's a bit more grim. It's a bit more for the adults, maybe, because we're following are somewhat aligned with a famous villain, right? So one of the superhero tropes, obviously, for some characters is that an event happens, you know, they're bitten by a spider, they're in an explosion or something traumatic happens to a billionaire, and then a few positives come from that. You know, they get massive muscles or they become suave and cool. You know, if you think about maybe like Iron Man or Thor, when they are looking their best, they look like freaking supermodels. But Eddie Brock is just a gross, hot mess. And the thing that's giving him his powers also has a lot of autonomy and a lot of decision-making capabilities over him. And it does remind you a little bit of schizophrenia and that maybe they're sort of going for that effect. So it's not really a huge cause for celebration, like it is usually when these people get their powers.
Yeah, he's an anti-hero, isn't he? He's not a shining light of a superhero. He's an anti-hero, isn't he?
Yes, exactly. There's quite a good use of this sort of montage effect near the beginning where we get various clips of Eddie Brock, of the Eddie Brock report, because he's a journalist, an investigative journalist, and this helps to build his character and it gives you an idea of what he's about quite quickly. So I do quite like that technique when it's done well. I do think for the most part, the performances and the casting is really good. Obviously, Tom Hardy is carrying this film. I've said before, I really like Tom Hardy as a performer. And usually if he's in something, I will watch it. I think he's an incredibly skilled actor and he's doing an awful lot in this film. Similar to when we did Legend, he's acting to himself or on his own. There are many scenes where it's just Eddie and Venom. So it's Tom Hardy and a voice, you know, is it a guy saying the words on set?
I think what he did was did his dialogue as Venom and then had it played back to him either in an earpiece or just on the set. So he is talking to himself. It must be like a tennis ball, right? It's like a CGI blob of a Venom coming out of his back, isn't it? And talking to him.
When Venom isn't there, like he's just in his head. So he's there acting on his own. He's not acting alongside anybody. He's got no one to bounce off or react to. And I feel like that must be really challenging for an actor, but he nails it. Of course he does. He's Tom Hardy. Mm. As always, he's got some brilliant, intense facial expressions and he's just not polished at all. And I actually think that makes him a lot more engaging than perhaps your standard superhero. He's sweaty, he projectile vomits at one point, his clothes always look disgusting, he looks like a shower is the last thing on his mind, but I'm just totally here for it.
The lobster bit.
I'm thinking of that as well. Like he just looks so fiercely intense. Like, because obviously whatever this symbiote is doing to him, because it makes him really hot and stuff, doesn't he? So that's one of the reasons why he's so sweaty all the time. And just this desperation to get in the lobster tank and stuff. I just thought he did a great job. What did you think of the performances, Josh?
So of the performances, I think that probably the best part of this film is Tom Hardy. So the other thing definitely. I remember I think the first time I watched it was that it was a film that was elevated by Tom Hardy and probably by Michelle Williams as well.
Mm. Yeah, she's pretty good, actually. And,
I mean, I think Michelle Williams is one of the more underrated actors around, really. She doesn't really get loads of massive, massive roles, but she's always good. Like, she's always a good supporting actor when she's in it. Jenny Slate's really good in this as well. She plays the doctor who works at the lab with Riz Ahmed's character.
Dora
Skirt, is it? Riz Ahmed is good with what he's given, but we'll come back to that. But the star is Tom Hardy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't say he doesn't give his all. Whatever he does, I mean, he is good in this. He starts off, because like all superhero films, there is a transition in it of, you know, non-powered normal person to superpowered person. Mm-hmm. But like you said earlier, in this, he doesn't have a big glow up. He goes more grotesque. But it starts off, Tom Hardy's quite reserved. He's quite quiet. His body language is quite insular. He's quite quiet. He's quite cool in some ways as well. And then when he gets the powers, he goes more and more grotesque and more manic. Mm-hmm. And then as it comes out the other side towards the end of the film, as the symbiote and him make peace, he goes back to being a bit cooler again. So I think there's a really good trajectory there, which gives him a lot to do. And he absolutely nails it. Like you say, he's in the lobster tank. He's doing all the faces. He's looking like he's sweaty. He's looking like he's gaunt. He's looking like he's washed out. It's difficult to make Tom Hardy look ugly, but he manages to do it to himself in this film. So I think he's really good in it as well. I think, as I said, Michelle Williams is very good in it as well. The performances are good, I think. I do think they're good. There's not a weak performance in it. There might be weak characters, which I think we'll come on to. I think something I need to sort of make clear as well is, when I was looking at this, I really had to separate how I felt about this as an idea, as a fan of the source material, and as I'm looking at it as a film critic, if you like, as someone who is looking at it as a film. As a film, that's what I'm going to talk about now. But as a concept, I do have a little bit, I am a bit cynical about it. You know, it's a Spider-Man villain outside of a Spider-Man film that is sort of latching onto the success of the MCU, but it's not in the MCU.
I wonder if, because I don't know anything about the source material, like, I haven't read any comic books or anything like that. All I know is the film, so I just take them all at face value. I wonder if I enjoy it more because of that.
I think you probably do, yeah. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because it's difficult. Because what am I cynical about? Am I cynical? And I'm sort of thinking out loud here, because a studio, Sony, is making films on the back of a character's success to make money. Well, in that case, should I not be cynical at the whole MCU then? Because
everything is there to make money, industry, right? Everything is there to make money.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I think it's perhaps because Spider-Man's not in it and the character is so intrinsically linked to Spider-Man. That's why he looks like Spider-Man. He looks like a big black Spider-Man, doesn't he? And the whole thing is, well, that's in the comics. I'm sure anyone who knows the comics will know what I mean when I talk about that. So, as a film, I think there was things to like in there this time around. There was.
You dug deep and you found them.
No, the performance is one thing. But something else I wanted to mention was I enjoyed some of the different uses of genre in there. There was a lot more horror than I remember. Mm. There was a lot more horror than I remembered. It's quite funny in places as well. There is a good chemistry between Eddie and Venom as it goes on.
Mate, I've nearly got that written down word for word in my notes.
So there's that. And there are some good action scenes in it. The scene where he's running away and he's on his bike, it's a good comic book action scene.
It's no Arnold Schwarzenegger riding a horse through a hotel.
What is?
But I'll take
true
it.
True lies. But, so what else did you like about it?
So I'm definitely interested to know what you had to say about Riz Ahmed later on. But I actually thought he did a great job as Carlton Drake. So he's obviously the main villain. He's the guy who brought the symbiotes to Earth and has been experimenting with them and these human hosts. And he just looks manic, like a man possessed. Even before he gets infected himself with a symbiote called Riot, he's got serious crazy eyes, like he's lusting after power and chaos. And it felt like you could feel his energy emanating through the screen. And I thought he gave quite a powerful performance, and I enjoyed him as the villain. And like you touched on there, Eddie's relationship with Venom, so I like how they interact with one another. It's funny sometimes. And the thing is, Venom looks horrifying, like aesthetically. Yeah. Like if I just saw a photo of him or a still from the film without context, I would shit myself. Like I'm sure I told you about the Darth Maul guy from Insidious with the red and black face. I see his face and I just get absolutely terrified. And I reckon if I saw Venom's face and had no additional context, I would feel the same way, because he just looks so scary. But then attaching him to Eddie and making him the way that he is, it kind of puts you on his side, which is interesting. And you are aligned with this, you know, what has previously been considered a villain. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah. What did you think? So one of the things I liked about it as well was the look of it. I think there's some really good comic book shots in there. There are shots where it looks like a comic book panel. So, for example, when he's flying through the air on his bike and he grabs it with the Venom tendrils, or when he's on top of a tree. And there's some really good shots in there that look like they're straight out of a comic book. What did you think of the look of the film?
I did quite like it. And I do feel it was a little bit different. Like you can sort of tell that it's not in the MCU.
Yeah, it's not
like they've all got a wash
to it, hasn't it? Well,
yeah, it's not
all
clean.
Of them, but a lot of them. The ones set on Earth always do.
They
have that wash to them. I thought it looked really great.
Yeah, and it just feels, I don't want to say noir. I wonder if that's giving it a bit too much credit, but like it's pretty dark and it's pretty dank. And a lot of the time it's pretty grim. Like even just in Eddie's apartment, like it's just a shithole, isn't it? And I just quite liked that it ain't glamorous and it's just not it's not this kind of version of superhero. I know I keep saying superheroes. I know technically he's not like a hero or whatever, but you know, it's just for simplicity. It was something a little bit different. It reminded me a little bit more of some of the grittier DC stuff as opposed to some of the Marvel stuff.
So I'm getting that you've got quite a lot that you like about this film. I've pretty much exhausted my points.
Yeah.
What else do you like?
You know, there's only really two more things to touch on, because although I think this film is underrated, doesn't necessarily mean I think it's a fantastic film.
That's what we're all about.
So from a technical point of view, so you touched on it a little bit there, I do think it's shot pretty well and it is fairly well edited. And the CGI around Venom, I think, is quite good. Mm. Like when it's sort of half him and half Eddie, or when he comes out, or, you know, when Eddie kind of becomes him fully and he's completely enveloped in this black sludginess. I think all that CGI is quite good. And just one last thing, and this was originally in my dislikes, so I'll you know, see what you have to say about if you sort of picked up on it as well. It was originally in my dislikes. Yeah, because I revisited it because I needed to know the exact details of it to make my point, but it actually turned out to be much more clever than I'd originally thought. So Eddie seemingly gets fired from his job as an investigative journalist for asking questions to Carlton Drake when they first meet. So he's asking him about the rumors that people are dying in his experiments. Mm. And at first I was like, surely he hasn't just been fired from his job as an investigative journalist for investigating, right?
For doing his job, basically.
Exactly. And I was like, well, that's a bit weird. But then when I went back to it, when Eddie's getting pulled away by security, he says, wait, I'm not finished. And then Carlton Drake says, oh, yes, you are. And then shoots some serious daggers his way. So then now I think that what he means when he says that he's finished is that he's finished professionally.
Yeah.
Because he's so rich and powerful that he just needs to pull a few strings and call in a few favors to get Eddie fired.
Yeah, I think he's just got
that's how
him
I
fired.
Read it.
So that's how
I read it the second time. Oh, was that obvious? Yeah, was that...
to be honest, I didn't remember that from the first time I watched it. When I watched it this time, that's what I got was the reason.
Yeah,
the reason
he made it happen.
He went fire him or be a even bigger bad guy or whatever his plan was.
Yeah, because that's the kind of control that he has.
Okay, so let's move on then to talking about things that we didn't like about the film or that we would perhaps change. Is there anything that you didn't like or that you would change about Venom? Venom.
So the main thing that I disliked about this film, and it's not even like one particular thing, it's a few things that I guess all fall into the same category. So it's some of the scenarios and plot points that just kind of made me think, well, if you change that a bit, it would be a lot more powerful, it would make a lot more sense. The main one that I didn't really like is how Eddie Brock managed to get into the Life Foundation lab. So obviously he needs to get infected, so we need him to be near a symbiote, so he's got to get in the lab somehow. Fine, I get it. But I find the fact that Dora Skirth, one of Drake's scientists who you mentioned before, just wanders into the corner shop that Eddie goes to find him and tell him everything, I found all that a bit hollow and a bit forced. We've already established that Drake is doing experiments on vulnerable people. And we've seen Eddie be on friendly terms with a homeless woman who then does actually go missing. And turns out she was one of the people getting experimented on, I think. And I feel like it would have been much more engaging and much more exciting if he'd have started snooping around himself, right? Mm. So like if he realized that his homeless friend is missing, maybe she mentioned to someone, either the shopkeeper or to him at some point, that she was going to go and do these experiments to get some money. And then Eddie starts putting two and two together and then he approaches Skirth. And then that's how he gets in. Or even the owner of the shop. So Mrs. Chen, we established that she quite possibly is having financial trouble because we see a thug threatening her for protection money. So maybe she needs to go and be in an experiment and get infected with a symbiote. And it just feels like there was a real missed opportunity here to give Eddie more of an emotional attachment to the situation.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Like, he gets fired. And it's like, then he just gives up. And it's just, oh, whatever. And then it's not until Skirth finds him in that convenience store or whatever it is that he gets back involved. And I'm like, but your homeless friend has gone missing. There's the thread, right? There's the thing to follow. Like, the first bit of investigating he does do, he gets fired for. And then his real opportunity, you know, he could be like the disgruntled employee, like, oh, I've been fired, so I'm going to look even further. And he doesn't. It's a bit, like, it's a bit two-dimensional. It's a bit lazy. It's a bit, and I read this in some of the reviews that weren't so friendly about the film, but they're in a rush to get to certain points in the film, right? We're in a rush to get Venom hooked to Eddie. And I just, like, for me, it just felt so obvious. I was like, you could have done so much more with that. So I touched on Mrs. Chen then. So she's the owner of this, you know, this convenience store, a news agent, as we would call it here in England.
Over on this side of the pond.
Yes, indeed. And there's a moment where, so a thug is like threatening her for money. And as like protect, it's like protection money, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
But what protection from him? It's like, pay me or I'll beat you up sort of thing. And that whole interaction just felt so forced. And the situation, all the dialogue in that situation sounded like they were reading off a script. And I felt like it really stuck out like a sore thumb as a scene. Now, obviously, it's a moment that we need to see happen because Eddie is, you know, hiding behind a shelf and he's showing his cowardice and showing, like you said before, he's a bit more quiet, like he doesn't get as involved. So then later on, we need to see Venom biting the thug's head off because it's like, oh, you know, he got his redemption or whatever.
Yeah, it's just sowing seeds, isn't it, for a payoff later on, really.
And it just felt really, just felt super forced and just really shoehorned in there.
So that's my main issue, right, is the script. Mm-hmm. I don't think the script is great. I think there's a bit of exposition dumping at the beginning. Mm-hmm. There's a lot at the beginning that's just sort of seems to be there to make Eddie look good or cool. Mm-hmm. There's a whole conversation about with the homeless lady where he's giving her money and stuff. And it seems to just be in there. A, to establish her for later on, but you don't really get any emotional attachment to her. And B, to show him being a good guy and he's a hero. Yeah. And I'm not sure that we need that because, and then the thing that leads into it, I'm not too sure what they want Venom to be. They obviously want Venom to carry this film. And so therefore they can't make him a villain all the way through, especially considered they want to keep it so a wider cinema audience can go and see it.
We've got to relate to him, haven't we? Yeah.
But they've got to make him this anti-hero, but they sort of can't decide, is he, how anti-hero are you going to go? Or is he just a hero except he eats people, but he only eats bad guys? And
it's like they can't... Like Dexter rules.
And they can't quite decide. And it really shows for me, and this is what I was saying earlier, it really shows with the villain, right? Mm-hmm. You've got Riz Ahmed, arguably one of the finest actors around at the moment. I love Riz Ahmed. I think he's brilliant. And he isn't given much to do in this outside of your stereotype villain bullshit, basically.
He
even does a, you know, like in these ones where villains are seeing some heinous act and they always go, have you ever heard what happened in the Bible when this character said to this character?
Right.
Is that, or there's like, or the other villain monologue that they always do is like, in ancient Roman times, when a man disagreed with another man.
When does he do that?
They put a long-haired guy into it, trials, and he kills him. And he does a whole monologue about Abraham and Jacob in the Bible.
Oh my God,
and it's such cliche villain bollocks to have them being like, in ancient Egyptian times, if one man saw another man's wife, he would. It's always the same. Isn't it though? It's always the same monologue of like, always like, they believe this meteorite came from a, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And I just think, develop your characters. Don't just have them saying villainous shit. What is his motivation?
It's like 2 hours long. Yeah. Come on, guys.
What is Carlton Drake's motivation apart from, okay, so he's obsessed.
Live forever, yeah. I think.
So he's obsessed with space travel, or he's obsessed with immortality, but why? Yeah. And don't get me wrong, he is as developed as some of the poorer MCU and DC villains. Mm. It's a problem in general, I think, with writing comic book villains. Because you either go world-ending Thanos level, or you go, they just sort of want to do this one thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, if there's the stakes are up here and it's Thanos and I want to wipe off half of life, then you can, it's quite easy to write that idea that Thanos has. And I know it's an MCU villain, but that idea of, well, it's fair. It's fair. If I click my fingers, then resources will be better used because, okay, I could double the resources, but whatever. Let's not get into the logistics of a fake of a fake villain. So I think it's quite difficult to write that lower level villain, which is why a lot of the time you end up with the villain is another version of the hero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's Iron Man, so his villain's just someone else who's got the same powers.
Because when
I used to watch the Flash TV series, every villain was another version of the Flash.
Yeah, reverse Flash.
Yeah, because it's the only way that they can compete with each other, and it's the only way you can have stakes. But there must be a way, and I don't know, I'm no genius, but there must be a way to make you look at Carlton Drake and be like, right, why do I hate this guy? And why is he our villain?
Give me more. Yeah.
As Britney Spears sang. So I think he's a bit cliche. I think they wasted Riz Ahmed. And then that all builds up to my next issue, which is the ending is just a big CGI blob fight.
And
I don't mind big CGI battles, but why did they make him look the same as Venom? In some bits, Riot looks more like the comic book Venom than Venom.
Right. Oh, dear.
So, and again, if that's what he looks like in the comics, if they're both black, then fine. But I do think, you could have made him a different colour or put a different pattern on him. I get it. If you make him a different colour, then you might upset people who are a fan of the comics. But I don't know that many people. I do like comics who are a big fan of the character Riot from the comic books. There are loads of other symbiotes. And yeah, okay, the only colour you can't go for is red because Carnage is red and he comes into the sequel. But
we know
you could have made him a different colour. And I think it would have made that CGI fight even just marginally better because I remember watching it going, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, who's who? It's like, who am I rooting for?
It's the same with Transformers. It's like, you don't know what a building is and what a character is and what a car is. And it's just, I just think put a little bit of thought into it so that if you're going to give us visual spectacle, that's fine. But I didn't even know what I was looking at. So that was a bit of a letdown for me. So is there anything else for you, anything that you particularly didn't like?
Just a couple more things. I mean, first of all, I totally appreciate what you just said then, and I'm totally down with that. And I think you articulated some things that I hadn't considered before, but definitely do make sense. There was a moment when a little girl who is infected with Riot, manages to get into the highly secured science lab. And I don't really think it's properly explained how she gets in there.
No.
Like, it's the middle of the night. I know there was a school trip in there earlier, but actually I even think that was like 6 months ago in the timeline. Eddie's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, Anne, at one point describes something as being like Venom's kryptonite. So are we to assume that the Superman comics exist in this universe, or is this an oversight? And based on what you've said about the writers and the things they've got wrong, is this an oversight from the writers? Because saying that someone's weakness is like their kryptonite has just become such a common turn of phrase.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've got faith in the idea that the DC comics exist in this world.
I would love to say there is absolutely no way that that gets through writers and script editors and all the people that, you know, all the people that something like this goes through to become a £100 million property one's gone. Should we
address that? Should someone A, reading a Superman comic at some point, or B, you take it out and you've got to change it?
But from what I know about the production of these films, and I don't mean specifically this film, the the production of some films to do with comic book characters, I wouldn't be surprised if it hasn't been caught and picked up on, or people they've just underestimated how much a person, a fan, would pick up on that. And you're not even particularly a massive comic book fan, are you?
Underestimated the strength of this little underrated film podcast and how closely we'd be paying attention. And then just finally, I thought some of the CGI away from Venom was pretty shitty and looked a bit outdated.
Yeah, a bit.
I think the moment, I know you said before, it's a good action sequence when he's on the motorbike and stuff, but the CGI around that, like when he's driving through the city, it looks like it's from about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because Venom himself looks great, but then a lot of the things around him just doesn't.
Okay, so let's move on then to talking about the critical reception. Now, I haven't seen the critical reception because obviously you picked it.
Mm-hmm. And I have it in front of me. So if you were going to hazard a guess... Oh, I'm nervous, Josh. I reckon you're going to lowball this. Go on. What would you give Venom? What do you reckon it got?
What would I give it?
Mm-hmm.
It is a solid... You know, I've gone in quite hard on the dislikes. I think it is a decent-ish film elevated by Tom Hardy's performance. If it wasn't him, it probably wouldn't
He's
be as good.
That,
and there are some issues with it. For me, it's probably a solid 5.
Okay.
It's probably it's a middle of the road.
Halfway up, halfway down.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And if you said it high 5 or low 5, I'd say on the higher side of 5, you know, rather than a middle 5 or a high 4 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know that it didn't do well with the critics. I do know that. So I think it's probably going to be one of those where the critics have really gone in on it and the audience maybe level it out a little bit. So let's say 4.
Okay. All right then. So at the time of recording, on IMDb, it got 6.6.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience gave it 81%.
Wow.
Don't mind it, the audience. And then the critics gave it 30%.
Right, I mean...
which I thought was a little bit tight, and that is the main reason why I picked it. And the critics' consensus is, and I imagine you'd probably agree with this, but correct me if I'm wrong, it says Venom's first standalone movie turns out to be like the comics character in all the wrong ways. Chaotic, noisy, and in desperate need of a stronger attachment to Spider-Man.
So witty, aren't they? They're just...
Well, and I think the thing for me, and I know I said it before, is because I'm... don't know the comics. I don't know what Venom's attachment to Spider-Man is. I don't know about the, you know, interactions they've had with one another. So it doesn't mean anything to me.
You've got to look at this as a film in itself. The fact that, you know, okay, I am a bit cynical about the creation of this film outside of Spider-Man, but the fact is they made it. So your job is to review it as a film. Mm. So in that case, what did you think of it as a film? Well, we've talked about that. So I think for me, there are flaws to it. I'd say the audience score is high, but it's
pretty high.
Yeah.
That is high,
but
isn't
three,
it?
You know, if we're talking about the critical reception, which is ultimately what deems it for us underrated, then it's underrated. It's quite highly underrated, actually.
Three, I think, 30 is harsh. The IMDb score, like that 6.6, for me, that's maybe about where I'd put it. I was surprised at how high the audience score is, but yeah, that critic score is just a little bit too mean to me. Tom Hardy is doing his thing. You know, he's carrying this film. He's doing such a great job, as always, acting on his own, being disgusting. And I thought he was great. And I think he deserves a lot higher than a 30%.
So there we go. Venom, sort of maybe slightly surprisingly, slides its way into the underrated vault. Are you happy with that one, Alice?
I am happy with that one. I think, you know, not a perfect film, but not 30%
bad. Not 30% bad, that's the whole thing.
In our opinion. Anyway, moving on. And to next week, Josh, what are we going to be watching?
So I thought it was about time we did another listener suggestion. The last one being...
Oh, I love these.
Of course, your dad.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in touch with my dad. And he didn't suggest any good films. So I took to Twitter and we've had a suggestion from Daniel Perrin on Twitter who suggested that we should cover Submarine.
So okay,
next week we will be watching...
A nautical-themed film, not unlike Speed 2. I have high hopes for this one.
Yes, so join us next week when we're going to be talking about another listener suggestion, which is Submarine. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. It's just Films and That Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, etc. Alice, we're also on the TV.
We are indeed. We are on the local TV network every Friday from 6 p.m. So if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool, or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. We're also on Channel 195 on Sky. And that's everywhere in the UK, I think, you lucky dog. Oh. So that's every Friday night from 6 p.m.
All over the gaff.
All over the place. Over.
Like Venom. Because it gets everywhere. So, yes, thank you very much for listening to this episode. And thank you very much for joining me as ever, Alice. Next week, we'll be talking about Submarine. And it's goodbye from me. Cheerio.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.